verses 1 to 30 and 39 to 42. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were all coming to him. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, I'm going to start off with a little quiz this morning. Tell me if you know which brand or company uses these slogans. Obey your thirst. Sprite. Okay, quench your thirst. Nice. Okay, that was it. You guys passed. Obey your thirst. I don't know about you, but when I drink Sprite, I'm usually still thirsty afterwards. Those sugary sodas, they never really quench your thirst like they might promise. They look really appealing, the Coca-Colas and all those drinks, fizzy and icy, and it looks like the best thing ever. Or, I always love a good cup of coffee in the morning, but I'm not drinking that because I'm thirsty. Those things will always leave us more thirsty. We need real water. The best thing for us, especially in these winter days when the flu's going around, is to stay hydrated and drink water. But we can all think of those times when we've been really thirsty, longing for water, longing for real refreshment. And so too, we come to this scene in Scripture this morning as we've been going through the Gospel of John, another really familiar narrative that the Gospel writer puts out there. We come to a very arid scene, if you will. Jesus in the wilderness, a woman, it's about noontime, the heat of the day. She's drawing water. And so let us put ourselves into this situation. How can we really quench our thirst? Along with this woman, we might find ourselves at times saying, How can you help me so I don't have to keep coming back and drawing this water? We see an arid scene. It's pretty peculiar in many ways. First of all, as I said, it was about noontime. It says it was the sixth hour of the day. Well, most people back then, they didn't draw water at this time. They would come in the morning or the evening when it was cool out. That's usually when most of the people were there. It was kind of like a social interaction. But here we have this woman, probably all by herself, at noontime. Last week we read about Jesus' interaction with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus at night. There's kind of this secretive interaction going on. And whether he's trying to be secret or not, we looked at the theme of darkness in John's gospel and how Jesus brings it out into the open. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus brings life and understanding. With Nicodemus, you might remember that he was really confused that Jesus would be talking about being born again. Nicodemus was stuck on the physical realm of this world. Jesus, on the other hand, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. Remember in John 1, Nathanael sees this vision of Jacob's ladder, God coming up and down, connecting heaven and earth. And Jesus, in his signs and in his communication with people, as John shares it, he is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. He is bringing heaven to earth. In Jesus, heaven and earth collide and they meet. And it is through Jesus that we see the kingdom reality among us. So for Nicodemus, there's a spiritual rebirth that needs to take place that we're reminded of. With this woman, she's confused. How could this guy, who doesn't even have a bucket with him, how can he provide living water from this well? What is living water? What does that even mean? She's stuck on the physical. And Jesus is saying, I've got water. I can provide living water. You'll never have to come back here again. It's peculiar because she comes at noon by herself. It says Jesus knows her. He knows her story. It says she mentions she probably doesn't want to go down this track. She says, I don't have a husband, period. And Jesus says, aha, but you've had five. And the one you're with right now isn't your husband. He says it not in a condemning way, but he's being gentle and just saying, I know you. It's okay. Let me help. You're trying to fill up your bucket with something that's not going to fill you up. She comes in the heat of the day, probably because of the shame of the mess that her life has become. And so you and I, too, we can often maybe be stuck in shame or guilt because of the mess that we've made of our lives or in our sin. This passage reminds me of another metaphor, even for our sin and our brokenness. One of the prophets, Jeremiah, he speaks to God's people, God speaking through him, and he calls an account of his people. This is in Jeremiah 2. Listen to the language he uses here. Therefore I contend with you, declares the Lord. With your children's children I will contend. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? Has a nation, have you guys like made idols out of things that are not God? Think about the Israelites and what they were rebuked for in idolatry, making gods out of wood or stone. The golden calf, things that can't see or can't hear but have ears and eyes, creating idols to worship. Has the nation made its God out of things that are not gods? My people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens. Be appalled at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. It's an interesting way to think about our sin. When we sin, we're really, it's like idolatry, the sin of idolatry. We're not trusting in God, the fountain of living waters, and we are hewing or making our own cisterns, leaky buckets that can't hold water. For this woman, it might have been trying to find that perfect husband, that perfect relationship. It wasn't working out. What do you try to fill up with? What do you keep drinking from that leaves you thirsty and doesn't really refresh you? Maybe it's a love relationship. Maybe it's finances and riches or wealth. Maybe it's status or affluence, living comfortably. Who knows? What is an idol? What is that cistern that's not holding water for you? We can find ourselves in the wilderness, as it says here, at noontime in the heat of the day, drawing water over and over again, always coming up empty, always still thirsty. But Jesus shows up and he knows us, and he offers us living water. We see here that Jesus, not only does he know us, not only does he know what we contend to turn to for our purpose and our fulfillment, but he knows that those aren't gonna work. We see here that we learn that Jesus knows us through and through. He is God. He knows everything. But we also see here that just as this woman wasn't fulfilled by whatever it was, we too will be left thirsty. We're exposed and we're revealed. She's drawing water over and over again. Another peculiar scene here is that Jesus has abandoned any of the real taboos of the day to help this woman. It was odd enough that she was there by herself in the middle of the day, but you know, it was quite peculiar to see a man talking to a woman alone. The disciple says later that the disciples marveled at him, that he was talking to her. Also, not to mention that she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. The Samaritans were kind of like the heretics or the half-breeds of the day. We think about the story of the Good Samaritan, and there's the surprise of how the Samaritan offered to help his neighbor. These folks had no dealings with each other. But Jesus didn't let politics or religion get in the way from loving and entering into this woman's life and offering her the promise of eternal life, of living water. Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you actually would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And as I mentioned, she says, well, you don't have a bucket. You have nothing to draw with. How do you get this living water? Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, Jesus says. But the water I give, it will well up a spring in him, coming to eternal life. Give me this water, sir. Give me this water that I might not have to come back and draw water. We can say that alongside of her. And Jesus later in this gospel, Jesus has been showing through his signs his glory and how he is God. We come to one of the first these sayings of Jesus where he says, I am. John loves the number 7. He loves this. He loves repeating things over and over again, these different signs that point to his divinity. And here Jesus at the end, this woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. He will teach us all things. And Jesus says, I who speak to you, I am he. This isn't actually accounted as one of the 7 I am statements traditionally in John's gospel, but it's the same language. And here, in probably the most clear way, other than saying I am the gate or I am the bread of life or whatever, he just says, I am he, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ. This kind of will enter into looking at these different I am statements of Jesus. But right here we have a very clear announcement from Jesus himself saying, I am he, I am the Messiah. I am the teacher. I'm the one that you are waiting for. And later in John's gospel, Jesus stands up in the temple and he says this about himself. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So what does this look like? What is living water? How can you and I be a part of this? How can you and I drink freely from this fountain? How can we have this fountain welling up inside of us, as Jesus says? Well, we've already said it this morning, but Psalm 63 is an amazing prayer where the psalmist just recounts his need of God, as we said even in our hymn, Lord, I need you every hour. Lord, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a wilderness, as in a dry and weary place. Every day, we have to remind ourselves of our need for God. Every day, we have to remind ourselves that nothing that we do or say, nothing that we accomplish this day, we can't set our hopes on any of those things. But our eternal life, our salvation, as is often it's associated with living water in the Old Testament, images of free-flowing water. Come, buy, and eat. You who have no money, come to the marketplace and take freely. Salvation. Ezekiel gives this really cool picture of the temple and these little streams of water that trickle out that become a big, wide river. Images of God's Spirit being given freely. You and I have God's Spirit in us, and it is a source, it is a wellspring of life. Jesus says he is the fountain of eternal life and also gives us his Spirit. It's this inner satisfaction and transformation that we have as we follow Christ and learn his ways. It's unlimited. then you and I can draw freely from it. It leads this woman to realize who she's talking to the point where it says that she up and left. Verse 28, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? As she sits and listens to Jesus and realizes who she's talking to, as you and I spend time in God's Word, thinking on Jesus' life and death and his resurrection and the life he gives to us, thinking about the Spirit which he so freely gives to us, through which we can be enabled to love and to serve and to worship, this spring of life inside of us. It ought to, like the woman, we don't even realize it, but we just leave our water jar and we run away to tell people the good news. I don't know if she even realized that she left her jar. She was just excited to get back to town and tell people what she had encountered. What do you fill up with? What is your broken cistern that doesn't hold water? What is that thing that you keep drinking from that leaves you thirsty? May today and this week and in your life, may looking at Jesus, may thinking on his Spirit that he gives us, may that get you so excited and full of life and joy and peace from God that you just leave the idols and the broken cisterns that we often try to use. May we leave those and run in a different direction to the wellspring of eternal life, the flowing spring that never runs dry. And may we even look inside to the Spirit of God for the source of our strength and our witness and just the good news that we have to share. We see even here at the very end, it says, many Samaritans ended up believing because of her testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Many more believed because of his word. We think of even in Acts, Jesus, before he ascends, he says, you will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria. He names that part of that region there. You'll be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So even our witness to our neighbors and to those around the world, it all comes from this amazing source of life that never runs dry. So I don't ever feel totally satisfied after drinking a Sprite or even a Gatorade for that matter, but I love their slogans. Obey your thirst. Quench your thirst. Let us obey our thirst and quench our thirst by looking to Jesus, the fountain of living water. Amen.